You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's a passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer and Chair of the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening to Get on the Air with Dr. Mike on the phone. 877-711-5211 or an email would do. If you prefer to email Dr. Mike a comment or question, Dr. Mike will answer you at udocs@gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. In this hour, at 20 after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not? Be careful of pesticide foggers. Dr. Ginsberg will tell us why. Cigarettes and Parkinson's disease, and maybe an alternative might be peppers. What about that? And a big medical story this week, covered from lots of different places, lots of angles, is arsenic in apple juice. I don't think arsenic is anything new in apple juice, but there could be some new information you'll need to find out about. And there's a new chemical found in car exhaust, which may be a problem for all of us. Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. At 35 after the hour, straight talk from the docs with Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry. And what are we going to be listening to at 35 after the hour?
Well, what Arthur is going to discuss is everything new about melanoma. You know that skin cancer, and specifically melanoma, has been increasing and is associated with more time in the sun and tanning beds. But Arthur wants to point out a whole raft of new data on how you can protect yourself, what you can do to get early detection, and then the fact that 6% of melanomas have a late recurrence, and how to both detect it and prevent the seriousness of it. There are new therapies, and you can really do a lot about it. And so Arthur's going to, one of the two subjects Arthur's going to touch is that, and the other one is how you can look younger and enjoy yourself in doing it. So Arthur will talk about both of those today.
All right, straight talk from the docs at 35 after the hour. Fellow I know at our golf course just found out he had skin cancer and said, I don't understand it. I guess they found something on his back. He says, I can't understand it. I always wear a shirt. I never go out in the sun shirtless, but for somehow it developed. Is it possible to penetrate clothing?
What happens is your skin cells migrate. They don't stay in one spot on your skin. So the one on your big toe could move to your small toe, or the one on your big toe can move up your leg to your abdomen. So we exchange DNA between our cells, and the cells move, so that the fact that you have a pigmentation any place means you've got to worry about it. That is, a mole any place is the same thing, even if you don't get sun any place. That's why you need a partner to take a picture or check all the spots on your body to make sure you don't have abnormal moles or pigments or irregular moles or different color in the moles. So there's a key mnemonic, A, B, C, D, E, and we'll talk about that with Arthur as well in the half past hour. But the basic message is, yeah, skin, if you will, cells can migrate. And so the fact that you wear shirts doesn't mean you won't get a melanoma under the area where you normally wear a shirt.
Got it. Okay. I'll tell him when I see him next time I run into him, unless his doctor has told him already since he's been diagnosed with it. One of a listener question from my show again. I hope you don't mind me sharing these with you, because they always ask it. When you talk to Dr. Mike, ask this question for me. Listener wanted to know, what is invasive breast cancer and what are the options?
Well, what invasive means is it invades tissues usually outside of the breast itself. So it can invade the skin, it can invade nerves, it can metastasize and invade brain or other areas. So invasive usually means it's outside of the immediate contained breast capsule. It can invade the other breast, it can invade the breastbone. All of that is called invasive.
And it's all based on stages of cancer, right? Stage 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that involved in that as well?
Correct. In other words, for each of the cancers, we often do stages.
Right.
So, for example, with prostate cancer, you know, it depends on the Gleason stage to tell how likely it is that this cancer spread or even what therapies we use. So the stages differ between different cancers based on the specific characteristics of that cancer. And invasive just means it's going outside of the contained area that it arose in. So a colon cancer, something that arose in the colon, can in the mucosa of the colon, can be invasive if it invades through the colon to a neighboring tissue or involves the muscle that surrounds that colon. So it is invading another area is what we really mean by invasive.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg in 8 minutes, our toxicologist at 20 after the hour. Dr. Mike's study says that we Americans are living longer, but not necessarily healthier. How do you connect those two?
Well, what this means, and this is a very important study, very difficult statistics, but they looked at all the developed nations, or what they call the wealthy nations of the world, the OECD nations, and what they found is that Americans were living about 3 years longer than we did 20 years ago, but we only had 2.3 years of disability-free time that we gained in that. That is, if we're living to 78 on average, but we have 10.2 years of disability, as opposed to 20 years ago, we were living on average to 75, but had 9.5 years of disability. So we're gaining more years of life, but it comes with more disability. There are other countries that are going the other way. The real key in this is until 1990, when we increased our life expectancy, we also decreased the time we were living with disability. Now what it is we have more chronic disease, which gives us more disability. So the chronic diseases are caused by tobacco, food choices and portion size, physical inactivity, unmanaged stress, and, if you will, one of those preventing it, and to show you how important tobacco is, still the number two cause of preventable loss of life is tobacco, even though we've decreased the tobacco rates. And this time, for the first time ever in the United States, obesity, that is food choices and portion size and physical inactivity, overtook those. Now, the great news is, in fact, all the things that are limiting our disability limiting our longevity, aren't in our genes. There are choices. That is, our choice to smoke or be around secondhand smoke, our choice to do physical activity or not, our choice of food and the sizes of portions, our choice to manage stress or not. Those are things we get to control. So the great news about this study is there's a lot we can do to overtake the other nations and a lot we can do to improve our own quality of life.
All right, so if somebody lives to 90 or 100 or 105 or 110, people assume, well, they were healthy, but you can live that long and not be healthy? It just doesn't seem to be that logical to me.
What it was saying is that our a period of disability is increased so that the average American lives to 78, but they have 10.2 years of disability in doing that. That is, if you say a third of a year of disability because of an ankle fracture that lasts a year to heal, well, when you add all those periods of years of partial disability up, it comes to 8 years of disability we now have compared to much less, meaning 0.7 years less. The difference is until 1990, again, we were living both longer and every time it was with less disability, not more. So our medical treatments have gotten good enough to keep us alive. We now need to do things about chronic disease, that is our own choices, to keep us disability-free while we're alive. So yeah, now the other thing that's really interesting, Joe, is if you figure what's the average life expectancy going to be in the end of the century, it's probably about 90, whereas it was 78 now.
Right back with Dr. Gary Ginsberg on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Sean Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You know, most part I'm always at leisure. That's why I love listening to Radio MD for other shows and, this show, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. It's wonderful listening to these shows at leisure. Welcome in. It's Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 after the hour, straight talk from the docs. Time now for What's Toxic and What's Not. It's Dr. Gary Ginsberg, toxicologist's position in the show. Welcome on. Good to have you back again, Dr. G.
Of course, yeah. This is where I am on Saturday nights.
This is your thing. This is big in the news. I've heard a lot of this week. It's arsenic in apple juice, and let's get that segment started with this. Arsenic in apple juice, it's nothing new, is it?
No. We have known for the last couple of years, since Consumer Union did a survey, and the Dr. Oz TV show did a survey.
Well, really, wait a second. Let's give Dr. Oz full credit on this. His group did the survey, did the analysis, and then when they got attacked by both the FDA and the ABC News correspondent Richard Besser, they went and got Consumer Union and said, hey, check all the data out that we got. Consumer Union found the same thing. That's why the FDA. So let's give full credit. This is Dr. Oz's thing that he pushed, even though he took a lot of abuse in doing it.
Oh, it was very controversial at the time, yeah, because he was going up against FDA. But what has happened now, because of all of that, what you might say, consciousness raising or agitation by the Dr. Oz show, FDA has really had to confront the issue, and they had a very loosey-goosey, maybe we'll do some sampling, a target level of 23 parts per billion of arsenic in apple juice. It was very loosely regulated. Over time, FDA has done some of their own sampling now, and they agree that there are times when the arsenic level in apple juice is higher than our comfort level, than our toxicology comfort level going into these little children's bodies would feel good about. So they have now said that they still don't have a tolerance level. And when FDA sets a tolerance, like for a pesticide, that says we're going to test it regularly, and we have the ability, the legal authority to pull that off the market. This is not a tolerance level, but they are setting an action level, which is one step down in authority. But they're setting an action level of 10 parts per billion, lower, much lower than the 23, which they were tolerating 2 years ago. So now they're down to 10. They're calling it an action level, and theoretically they will be doing more about keeping arsenic out of apple juice. And the industry is now put on notice that they need to get down below 10. Look, arsenic is crustal. It's out there in the environment. It's in rice. It's at trace levels and other things. We're not going to get to zero arsenic, either in our drinking water or in our apple juice. Now at least FDA has set a standard or an action level that matches what we all go by in our drinking water supply. So they are moving in the right direction. Hopefully they'll be testing and be vigilant and hold these apple juice makers to the fire if they go over 10.
Is there any reference to arsenic on a label on apple juice?
No. This is a contaminant. You don't have to list contaminants on a label.
Okay. All right. So would you have to trust
the consumer, you know, what can the consumer do?
Yes.
You know, you could buy organic apple juice, and that's theoretically not coming in from Brazil or China or some of these places where they have arsenical pesticides that they're still using. So a lot of times the organic apple juice is actually from Washington State and is going to be more guaranteed to be low. So I'd say that's one thing people can do.
Okay. What's happening, Gary, with pesticide foggers?
Yes. This story kind of really opened my eyes to the danger. I had no idea how flammable they are. But there was a woman in Chinatown who was perturbed by all the creepy crawlies in her apartment. And so she went to the hardware store, and anybody could buy these foggers rather than hiring an exterminator. They're inexpensive, and it's like a push button, and you can fog your apartment. And many people use these and don't follow the directions, which means the directions are get yourself out of the apartment, seal up all your clothing so they don't become contaminated, and don't leave the pilot light on because it's flammable. And this woman had the pilot light on, and it blew up her apartment. So fogging with pesticide with a pilot light on, or if you lit a match, you could blow up your apartment. So they're dangerous. And they don't have that many explosions and fires from them. This was a bad one. It just happened in Chinatown. 12 people were injured. wiped out a couple of units in an apartment.
And you don't want to use one of those foggers near your grill, outside grilling, because I see people using the foggers for outside pests.
Exactly, Mike. Yeah, good point there. And you don't want to use a fogger. As a toxicologist, I'd much rather see people hire an exterminator, somebody who's going to be careful, who's going to make sure the apartment is sealed up and everybody's out of it, and is going to do the job, because these foggers, if you don't use them right, it's not going to do the job anyway.
All right, issue number three, Gary, why should we eat peppers?
Okay, so I don't know how many folks out there realize this. Cigarette smoking is, in general, bad for you. But the one good thing that's pretty much proven about cigarette smoking is that it lowers your risk of getting Parkinson's disease. And we think it's the nicotine in the cigarette, in the tobacco, that stimulates pathways in the brain that decreases the damage from Parkinson's disease, keeps the brain going longer. So that's well established in the literature. So we don't really want to recommend to people that they smoke cigarettes, do we?
No.
If they're at risk of Parkinson's disease. No, that's not the right public health message at all. Well, now we're finding that there's nicotine-like chemicals in the tobacco family and in other parts of the tobacco family, like peppers. So red peppers, green peppers, hot peppers, they all are in the tobacco family, and they do have some nicotine in them as a stimulant. And it's very low levels, but a study was just done of 500 people with Parkinson's disease and 600 people who don't have it, and the people who didn't have it eat more peppers. So it's right now very loose, theoretical, but it can't hurt. Peppers are good for you in general. They've got vitamin C, and they have some nicotinoids that could theoretically stave off your risk of Parkinson's disease. I think what's going to happen in this area, people are going to extract whatever they can out of peppers, and they're going to put it into animals and find out if it does really decrease Parkinson's syndrome.
That's pretty interesting. Now, if you can do this in a minute, tell us about a new chemical found in car exhaust, which may be an issue.
Yeah, obviously car exhaust is a bad thing. It's got lots of carcinogens. It's don't put your nose up to car exhaust. But we're all driving around. We're putting car exhaust into the air. And now what we're finding is that we're breathing in this chemical, isocyanuric acid, which is a new discovery in car exhaust. It's probably also in fires. It's damaging to your proteins and to your blood vessels. It could cause hardening of the arteries. And so we're putting quantities of it up into the atmosphere, which the regulators need to see, pay attention to. Is there a way that we could catalytically control the emissions from our tailpipe of this potentially blood vascular damaging contaminant in car exhaust?
All right. Now, if you want to go to Dr. Gary Ginsberg's website, it's wonderful, What's Toxic? whatstoxic.com. There's some things that are, some things that aren't, and some that aren't that you might be pretty surprised they are. whatstoxic.com. 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com to get to Dr. Mike or get to Dr. Arthur Perry. Straight talk from the docs coming up next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers.
Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Young Dr. Mike. We're talking with Arthur Perry. And Arthur, there's some great news, some really positive news on melanoma. But there's also some bad news on it. Talk to us about it.
Well, you know, this has been a busy year for melanoma research, Mike. In fact, the last 4 years, there's been more progress in melanoma than probably in the last 50 combined. But the study that was published this past week was very, very interesting, and it showed late recurrences of melanoma after many, many years, Mike, 10,
so
even 20
years. So this is normally
years.
We say if you're 5 years free of cancer, you've beaten it, meaning you've got 5 years free of cancer, you've got a cure. This is bad news in that sense, in that there were, 6% of the people had recurrences more than 10 years after they had the initial, quote, cure period.
That's right. And some of those patients, Mike, were 20 years out, and had a recurrence of cancer. Now, the good news with this is the ones that recurred late tended to be extremely better treated. So they were more susceptible to this new chemotherapy and even just surgery. So it's interesting. People don't fully understand melanoma, why on earth and how on earth this could happen. Certainly there's got to be something to do with the immune system. So Mike, I thought since we're talking about melanoma, we would talk about, you know, the signs of melanoma, you know, when people should be concerned, and also you know, some other interesting facts about melanoma. So how many moles do you have in your body, Mike?
Oh, they're too numerous to count. I got all these small moles, and as you get older, you seem to get more. They are more of them, even. And so, obviously, you're going to tell me about A, B, C, D, E.
A, B, C, D, E. That's right. Those are that's what we remember in medicine, and you can remember just looking at your own moles. The signs of a melanoma. So, the A that Mike talked about is asymmetry. And that means you look at your mole, and it's not a perfect round thing, you know, nice and dark color throughout, but maybe dark on one side and light on another, and maybe irregular. So, and that brings us to B, the border irregularity. So instead of it being nice and smooth, the edges are kind of ragged. You know, they're blurred, not distinct. You know, you can't see exactly where the mole starts and ends. So that brings us to number three, which is C, A, B, C. And the first is asymmetry, and then borders, and then the color. So in a mole, in a good mole, you know, the moles that we all have, the color should be very uniform, should be consistent throughout the entire mole.
So C really is consistent color.
That's right. So if the color is inconsistent, if it's, you know, brown and even blue, that's actually a particularly worrisome color, or reddish or white, with different colors intermixed, that's not so good. And that can be confusing because there are things called blue nevi, you know, moles that are blue that are completely benign, although they do have a higher chance of turning into melanoma. So color is important when we look at these. Are you with me, Mike?
I am.
Because I heard some funny sounds there going halfway across the continent. So the third, the fourth one is D, for diameter. So remember those number two?
By the way, those funny sounds weren't from me. They must have been coming from somebody hacking or trying something with our satellite uplink.
It's someone.
I should tell you that Arthur's in New York. I'm in Oakland, California. And we connect through Vero Beach, Florida, to a satellite uplink in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So anytime you hear something that isn't normal, it's always Colorado's fault because no one's here to defend them.
It could be some hacker in the Soviet Union also, but we won't go there. All right, so diameter. Remember the number two pencils that you used to take exams with? You had to bring two sharp number two pencils with you to those exams, Mike?
Oh, I remember. I remember taking six with it because I pressed so hard I would break some of the points. So I took six of those number twos.
I just brought a sharpener. But anyway, on the back of those pencils is an exactly 6 millimeter diameter eraser. I know it's exact because I actually measured it. You know, because everybody says, well, you know, if a mole is bigger than the size of the diameter of your eraser, that's something we have to be concerned with. So I measured it, and yes, those erasers are exactly 6 millimeters in diameter. So if you take your eraser, put it over your mole, if your mole goes beyond the diameter of that eraser, that is a warning sign for a mole that might be a melanoma. So that's D, A, B, C, D. E, that's the new one that they added a few years ago. They had to make this a little more complicated, those dermatologists and pathologists. Evolving. E is for evolving. That means a mole that changes. You know, one that this month looks fairly consistent and not irregular in border. And then a couple months from now, looks funny, looks different. And
so
Mike,
A is asymmetry. B is border. C is consistent color. D is diameter bigger than an eraser, and E is it's evolving or changing. And I like the policy you taught me of taking your iPhone or your cell phone and taking pictures, don't tweet them, take pictures of, or have someone help you, your partner, take pictures of all the areas of your body, same distance away, get it consistent from year to year, and then store those so you can actually see and show your doc if any of them are evolving, so there's no doubt about it. Take them in the same time of day, the same light, the same room. You can really do this. And, you know, take a yardstick or something like that to measure the distance you're taking it so that the distances are consistent.
And if you really want to be scientific, put a ruler in the field that you take the picture of. So have just a little ruler so that we can see how many millimeters or how many eighth of an inch wide the diameter of this thing that's growing is. But again, Mike, there's just a limit to that, because if there's a question, if you have a question and you're sitting there looking at this thing every month and wondering if it changes, you know, go see your doctor. And even if it's a family doctor, it doesn't necessarily have to be a dermatologist or plastic surgeon, although that is better. And we know that, by the way. There have been studies that have shown that dermatologists have a much higher correct diagnosis rate than other types of doctors. But any doctor can really identify something that does not look good. So go see the doctor. So, Mike.
Can you buy one of those? Are there apps that you can buy that tell you likelihood?
Yeah, there are, but I think these have been reviewed, wasn't it? Didn't you review those with Dr. Oz, or Dr. Oz reviewed those?
We did review them a while back.
Yeah, and I don't think they're so good, right?
Well, there's nothing that's perfect, but the message is, if you want to worry about something, the best news, just go and get your physician, your dermatologist, to look at it. But there are apps you can use to give you likelihood. And anything you do to help you is good.
So now, Mike, the melanomas are actually, they're much more common than people really think. You know, they're the sixth most common cancer in the United States. There's 76,000 Americans each year that develop invasive melanoma. And we're not even talking about the very, very, very superficial ones. There's probably an equal number of those that are absolutely cured. So maybe when we come back from the break, we can talk a little bit about who might be more likely to get a melanoma and who doesn't have to worry quite so much.
We will do that. So who's likely and how to protect yourself when we come back from the break. And you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, on RadioMD.com, we're supposed to say, do you know the keywords, Arthur?
We'll be back after these words.
No, the keyword is stay young.
Stay young.
We're going to talk about something that helps you stay young. If you have it during your old age, it gives you a younger look. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. Stay young on RadioMD.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And Arthur, I have a test question for you, as well as for our listeners. First one to send me an email with the answer gets a new You, the Owner's Manual radio show, You, the Owner's Manual. We've got a new book, and a re-edition of You, the Owner's Manual coming out in the fall. I think it's in October, but in any case, you'll get a first and a signed copy from both Dr. Oz and myself. So what's the question? This is fill in the blank. What during old age makes you look younger? Article this week on blank during old age makes you look younger. So first person to send me the answer on email, udocs, youdocs at gmail.com. Wow, we're getting a whole bunch of answers. First one to get the answer correct.
It's a consultation with me, Mike. A consultation with me, right?
Well, it's got to be more than a consultation with Arthur Perry.
Well,
it's
got to
be some action by Dr. Perry. But what during old age makes you look younger? Arthur, let's go back to, and it isn't taking pictures of your body. But anyway, we were talking about melanoma, and we had talked about the late recurrences. How do you know if you've got a late recurrence? It's inside you most of the time, right? Is it on the skin?
Sometimes it can be. Sometimes the recurrences can be in the skin. Sometimes it's in the lymph nodes. Sometimes it's in the organs inside the body. But
there are new therapies that help with it, right?
There are new chemotherapies. Remember, just 4 years ago, there was virtually no treatment for melanoma other than surgery. So if you happen to have a melanoma thicker than about a millimeter or so, there was a fairly good chance that it would spread, and that wasn't a good thing. But there's such encouraging
news. Well, Arthur,
news
I've got to interrupt you. We do have an answer. I want to stop people from sending the emails before I get overcrowded. Sylvia sent the answer. And the answer is, Arthur, blank during old age makes you look younger. A study out this week, it's an active sex life. Sex during old age is the key to maintaining and preserving a youthful look. said British psychologist Dr. David Weeks. He presented the data and the study of it at the British Psychological Society. We'll talk about it maybe next week. But in any case, it is sex. Thank you, Sylvia, for sending that. You get a copy of You, the Owner's Manual radio show, You, the Owner's Manual, when it comes out. We are You, the Owner's Manual radio show. You can't get a copy, but you can log on and hear a copy anytime at RadioMD.com. But You, the Owner's Manual, and I'll get it signed by both Mehmet and myself, and we'll give you one as soon as it comes out. Sorry, Arthur, I interrupted you because I got deluged by emails and I wanted to stop them.
All right, stop those emails. Okay, so Mike, in the last 4 years, there have been many new chemotherapy agents, they're very, very fancy names, so I won't tell you that one. I can't even pronounce it. Maybe you can. Ipilimumab. Can you pronounce that one? Ipilimumab.
No, but I'm glad you tried.
Wow, it's such a tough one. Only the oncologist can actually pronounce these things. And the other one, vemurafenib, something like that. Very, very common. They couldn't name it just like Joe or something. So, but the important thing is, these are incredible new drugs. Some of which help the immune system fight off the cancer, and some just kill based on some of the properties of the cancer. And these things have now made melanoma and even metastatic melanoma that's spread throughout the body, a very treatable disease. So that's the very good news, Mike. So the important information that I do want to say is it's not so much how much sun you get every day. You tell everybody 15, 20 minutes a day sun exposure. But, you know, with melanoma, it's not so much the length of time in the sun, but rather the sunburns that are very important. So if you get a sunburn, that's not a good thing.
Also, and especially if you had one when you were a kid, right?
Exactly. That's right. And most sunburns really do occur in kids because you and I are smart enough to put on our sunscreen.
And the pain gets us out of the sun.
That's right. And you know what, Mike? You feel kind of lousy if you're in the sun more than really about a half an hour. Most human beings do feel lousy. It's only walruses and seals that need to be in the sun. We don't. So I always say, you know, follow what your dog does, and a dog will be out in the sun for about 20 minutes and then crawl underneath a plant in order to get out of the sun. We should do the same. But, Mike, those moles on your body that you were telling me about, you've got a lot of them. It turns out, and this is relatively new information, when you do have more than 100 moles on your body, even if they're normal moles, you do have a higher chance of getting a melanoma.
Oh, come on.
That's true. 100 moles. That's,
so now,
that's
in addition to using sunscreen, and I use something that Dr. Perry had in the old days. When's his new sunblock coming out?
Well, I've got the facial stuff out now. That's the SPF 20 called Daytime. My Sun Time, that's the new one. That won't be out till next year, Mike. Too much work to do to get these things out. So next year I'll have...
So Sun Time, but I use one that has zinc oxide micronized.
Right.
So you want the micronized and you want zinc oxide because it starts protecting you as soon as you put it on. Remember to put on enough. You need to put on a shot glass worth. For your body. For how much of your body does a shot glass worth cover, Arthur?
Now, that's a shot glass, for those of you who do not drink, I don't either, is 1 ounce, and 1 ounce is what it takes to cover your entire body.
So it's a ping pong ball for those of you who don't have shots.
Right. Okay. Now, Mike, one more thing, because I know you want to do a Real Age Tip of the Week, but there's one more bit of information I want to get out there because I constantly see people that don't understand this, and that is if you're born with a mole, the day you come out of mom, if you've got a mole on your body, it's got a much higher chance of becoming a melanoma. And they've tried to figure out how big this thing has to be, and there's a lot of confusion about that. But the important thing is, if it's very big, meaning if it's over 20 centimeters, that's two lengths of your index finger, those things should be excised even in the first year of life. If they're smaller than that, you probably can wait until you're about 6 or 7. I saw someone yesterday who was 30 years old.
Oh, so you get those out early.
You get those out early. They have as high as a 9% lifetime chance of becoming a melanoma.
Really? So if it's two finger lengths, 20 millimeters, 2 centimeters
centimeters
in length.
No, 20 centimeters. 20, not millimeters, centimeters. Two lengths. Your index finger is exactly 10 centimeters. Measure it with that ruler tonight. Okay?
I don't know, millimeters.
No, it's... Wait, did I say that wrong? Your index finger is 10 centimeters, 100 millimeters. That's your index finger. So if you've got two lengths of your index finger, if your mole is that big, get it off yesterday.
That's like half a body.
Yeah, that's a giant congenital nevus. That's right. And those
so
are...
So it's not 2 centimeters, it's no. 20. It's how many?
20 centimeters, that's right. You say centimeters, I say centimeters. Tomato, tomato. So, Mike?
That's like 12 inches.
Yeah, and there are children that are born with these things that big. There's not much discussion about those. Those come off early. Where the discussion starts is when those are smaller, like let's say the size of a quarter. When do you start taking those off? And I do believe they should be pretty early, but we could probably wait until you're around 6 years old when you can have local anesthesia instead of general for those. All right?
I think we're out of time, and we aren't going to do a quick tip of the week. How much time do we have, engineer? 15 seconds. So all I'm going to do is say, tune in next week. We'll have another great show, original show, a real good show. I can tell you who our guests are, but it's tremendous. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thanks for great engineering. Thank
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Juliana and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to Parents Guide. CordBlood.org to learn more.